Welcome to our time of worship together here at Countryside Community Church. My name is Jim Hollister, and it is my honor to serve with you as the pastor here. We welcome you, and if you are our guest today, we are especially grateful that you have joined us, and we welcome you to our time together. We invite you to join me as we turn again to the scripture this morning. We turn now to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, and we'll read verses 10 through 28. We'd invite you, if it helps you to follow along, to go ahead and turn there now, and you can find that in your favorite Bible. I'll be reading this morning from the New Revised Standard Version, or if you find that following along distracts you, would invite you to hear the word of the Lord this morning. Matthew 15, starting in verse numbered 10. Then Jesus called the crowd to him and said to him, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached him and said, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then Jesus said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. From out of the heart comes evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from the region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And the disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Will you bow with me for a moment, please? Gracious and holy God, we pause in the midst of all our busyness to find a time to be still, because we need to hear a word from you. And so now we pray, Holy Spirit, we ask that as you always do, that once again you would come and pour yourself out on us, that again you would take the words of the scripture which we share, the humble words which I will offer, and the thoughts of every single one of our hearts, and inspire us, breathe life into them, so that in them we might hear the word of God, the word made flesh, Jesus Christ, our Lord. In whose name we pray. Amen. So as we continue our journey through the Gospel of Matthew, we're now in chapter 15, and as we work at this morning, we're kind of in a part two of our look at this passage. We're going to be focusing on kind of the second half. And this is one of those parts of scripture where there's a part of us that goes, boy, I really wish this wasn't in here. There are passages like that in scripture where we read them and go, wow, I don't know. I don't know what that's about. And trying to figure it out can be a bit of a challenge. It's sort of like when you ask somebody for directions and they say, well, you can't get there from here. Those words are only slightly scarier than, to me at least, than the words, oh, it's easy, you can't miss it. No, I can, and I have. But you can't get there from here is partly a way of saying that in order to get where you want to go, you have to go somewhere else first. And as we kind of look at this text together, we find that there's a little bit of that might help us as we try to figure out what's happening here, what Jesus is doing. That we need to journey into to some other places before we can find our way back to make sense of what it is that Jesus is saying, of what it is that the Holy Spirit wants us to understand, of how it is we live this out in a way that is faithful to the God who offers us salvation in Jesus Christ. So one of the things about this passage is that how we look at that depends a lot on how we think about Jesus. Now, the fancy theological word for that is it depends on our Christology. What do we think about Jesus? How do we understand who he was? You know, for those who would look at this passage and stories like this and say, well, Jesus is just a guy who taught stuff, and so, you know, that he didn't get it all right, maybe that's not a big deal. But for those of us who understand that Jesus is the Son of God, that's a different issue. And as we begin to try to sort out what's happening here and how we understand what Jesus is doing, that we want to that it will make a difference on how we think about who Jesus is. I mean, the thing that the church has always taught and that the scripture shows us is that Jesus is both divine, both God, and fully human. Now, the scripture says that Jesus is the Son of God. And we talk about the Trinity, that our God is three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And at the same time, we understand that Jesus is God made flesh, fully human, fully tempted in every way that we are, yet without sin. And how we think about how we put that together will affect how we kind of sort through these difficult passages and these places where we're not quite sure what to do with what Jesus says. See, because the real thing is, as we look at Jesus' interaction with this woman who comes to him as he's entered the region of Tyre and Sidon, out on the west coast of the Holy Land, bordering on the Mediterranean, as Jesus comes into that and begins to have this interaction, Jesus says the quiet thing out loud. Taken at face value, what Jesus says is pretty harsh. At first, he doesn't even acknowledge her existence. And then he only says, look, I haven't come to talk, to teach, to deal with that kind of person. And then he calls her a dog. He says all the quiet things that the disciples' attitude, that the disciples seem to be thinking and feeling, all of that stuff, Jesus just says out loud. And why we think Jesus did that, again, is going to be grounded in who we think Jesus is. And because of who I think Jesus is, now part of the reason that this is so shocking, when Jesus says, look, I only came to the lost sheep of Israel, is that there is such a long scriptural tradition of God being not only the God of the chosen people, but that he chose those people to be a light to everybody else. Genesis 12, when Abraham is called, he's offered a rich blessing that he'll have land and descendants and be remembered. But it says very clearly that you are blessed to be a blessing and a light to the Gentiles. And then there's passages like Isaiah 56, in which the prophet says the words of God, that God is going to gather together not just the people we expect, but people that we don't expect. And I won't read all of that verses 1 to 8 there, but starting at verse 6, and the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister him, to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, who all who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it and hold fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Thus says the Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, I will gather others to them besides those already gathered. There's this long tradition that God is calling the chosen people in order to call the entire world. And so when we hear Jesus say, I've only come to the lost children of Israel, it's confusing. Isn't this the same Jesus who said to his disciples as he was ascending to heaven that I want you to go to Jerusalem and Samaria and to all the world? Isn't this the same Jesus who gave the Great Commission? Go into all the world and make disciples? Isn't this the same Jesus who said those things? Isn't this the same Jesus who Paul makes the bold comment that in Christ there is no Greek, nor Jew, nor slave, nor free, nor male, nor female. All are one in Christ, in Galatians. So what's happening here? What is Jesus doing? Now we can only guess, because the scripture doesn't say. But as Jesus continues to engage, he reflects those things that would have been going on in the hearts of his disciples. Now, in the region of Tyre and Sidon, where they had gone, there was a Jewish community, but that Jewish community was typically much poorer than the folks who lived in that region. These were folks who were not part of Israel. And there was a history of the folks who were native there oppressing the Jewish community that lived in that place. So there's all kinds of reasons that you could give for why there might have been an attitude that this person doesn't deserve the goodness of God. Maybe it was she was a woman. Maybe it was she's a foreigner. Maybe it was she didn't believe the right things. Maybe it was she represented, apparently that word's hard to say, she represented a people who had been oppressive. Maybe she wasn't one of the rich folks. Maybe she was one of the folks who grew up also in poverty, also scraping the barrel, but had always been taught, well, at least I ain't one of them. Lots of reasons why. It might have been a popular thing to say to someone such as her, you don't deserve the love of God. I believe that Jesus is saying the quiet thing out loud so that it can be reflected back to the disciples. Oh, really? It sounds pretty awful when you say it out loud, doesn't it? And maybe for our sake too. That when we look at groups of people and say, you don't deserve the love of God. You don't deserve to be treated with respect and dignity. You don't deserve to have opportunity. You're too lazy. You don't pay attention. You're not good enough. Whatever our reasons might become. That Jesus reflects that back. Because when you say it out loud, it sure sounds pretty awful. And maybe it was because he knew this woman's heart. Because her response is simply to continue to come to Jesus. When nobody will talk to her, when people talk about her in front of her, she doesn't fold, she doesn't crumble, she doesn't go away. She comes determined that Jesus is able to heal her daughter. And so she comes and says, Lord, help me. And again, Jesus says, the quiet thing out loud. It's not fair to throw the children's food to the dogs. And her response is a statement of faith. Her response shows what it is that she truly believes. Jesus says, it's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. And she said, yes, but even the dogs get to eat the crumbs that fall from the table. In other words, the woman believes that the kingdom of heaven is inconceivably abundant. The kingdom of heaven is inconceivably abundant. In the face of the quiet thing that Jesus says out loud, look, there's just not enough for everybody, so you don't get any. She says, no, the kingdom of heaven is so abundant that we can't even imagine it. It's so abundant that there's plenty for the children. And for me too. And finally, in this story, Jesus says the thing that we expect Jesus to say. Great is your faith. Great is your faith. Now, the Greek word there means, first of all, big. But it also means, by extension, powerful. Jesus says to her, your faith is powerful. Which is an interesting contrast when you look at the disciples, who were the chosen, who were chosen not only the chosen people, but had been chosen by Jesus. And then over and over again, the best that Jesus can say to them is, oh, you have little faith. You have faith. You just have trouble holding on to it in the moment. But to this woman, he says, great is your faith. Your faith is powerful. When things got difficult, you didn't fold. When things got frightening, you didn't turn away. You held on to your belief that the kingdom of heaven is inconceivably abundant. Jesus celebrates this woman's faith for its perseverance, for its power. Great is your faith, Jesus says. Let it be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed immediately. Sometimes to get where we need to end up, we need to go through somewhere else. To get to this place where we recognize that the kingdom of heaven is inconceivably abundant, we have to come to terms with, sometimes we think that God's grace is pretty scarce. Sometimes we think that the resources of the kingdom of heaven are kind of thin. Sometimes we operate out of our fear. But Jesus holds that up for us, so that we can see it and understand it for what it is. It's that we don't quite yet that the kingdom of heaven is inconceivably abundant. And that God has so much grace and love that we can give it away to literally everyone. That we can give it away to the people who absolutely may not deserve it. That we can give it away to the people who don't deserve it by our understanding. By people who don't deserve it because of their reactions to the teaching of Jesus. But we can give that love and grace away anyway and never, ever, ever have to worry that there won't be enough for us. This is what the Canaanite woman believed. And this is what Jesus celebrates in her and in us. Grace to you and peace. Amen.